GM, everybody. As usual, thanks for giving us a few minutes here to get our technology working. You know, it's not like Web3 where everything works, right? I'm kidding. We're building our parachutes on the way down. I believe that's Reid Hoffman, but you'll correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure. Anyways, I'm very excited because today we have Colin, and we're going to be talking about Paragraph, which I don't know how early I was there. Colin will let me know. But, you know, I feel like I was early. At least it felt like I was early. So, go ahead.
No, I think you were. I think you're definitely pretty early on. And I mean, you've stayed engaged the entire time, which I think has been fantastic to see.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll get into it. But, you know, for me, it's always about experimenting. So I'd like to cast a wide net. No pun intended about casting. right now, everything is just a wordplay. And then we'll see what sticks, right? And I felt very early that Paragraph was one of those things that was going to stick. And we'll get into why in a moment. But we'll run through the introduction for the podcast here for anybody who's listening for the first time. GM, welcome. This is the Crypto Consumer Chronicles podcast hosted by Crypto Sapiens. We meet here every week. I'm not GM Farcaster. We meet here every week to define and demystify consumer crypto with the people who are building it. Make sure to sign up to our newsletter at cryptosapiens.xyz. We're going to be talking there about a game we're building, so make sure you sign up to stay tuned. And before we get started, I want to thank the generous supporters that make this all possible: Mosaic Labs, The Optimism Collective, and Bankless DAO. So without further ado, let's get started. GM to Colin, can you just give us a brief intro? Like, you are the founder at Paragraph. What is Paragraph? And how did you envision Paragraph to start?
Sure. So Paragraph is a publishing platform that helps creators build, own, and grow direct relationships with their audience. So we've always believed the best way to ensure ownership and directness of these relationships and of, you know, the content that creators are producing is to rely on protocols whenever possible, preferably neutral, credibly neutral protocols. So, you know, we're building on top of a lot of different protocols to kind of accomplish this. But it's kind of like three pillars, I think, that we've always focused on. There's content creation, like how can we help creators create content? There's content distribution, I think, how can we get that content in front of as many people as possible? And then lastly, monetization, right? Like how can creators earn off that content? So, I mean, we've experimented, I think, in a lot of different ways within kind of these three pillars. When it comes to creation, we're building on top of Ethereum as sort of the identity layer, all content stored on Arweave. Creator owns the content, anyone can permissionlessly ingest it, build on top of it. Distribution, I think we've done countless things. I think Farcaster is fantastic, SMTP for email, you know, a bunch of different things, I think, to try to get people to read the content, right? And monetization as well, I think we've experimented with a number of things to try to help creators earn, you know, wherever that content is, right? No matter if it's someone's inbox or if it's on Farcaster or what have you. So, you know, that's kind of been like the very high level sort of vision, just focus on these three things. Happy to get into sort of the background or motivation or anything like that, if it may be beneficial.
No, absolutely. We'll dive into as many cracks and crevices as we can, because I was looking at your blog and Paragraph didn't start as Paragraph. It started as something else. Was the vision just much more narrow at the time? And as you started building, you saw the opportunity to go build more broadly, and hence the change of the name.
Yeah. So, there's kind of a different reason behind the change of the name, but we used to be called Papyrus when it started. I hopped on a call with someone and then he said, I'm very happy to learn more about Papyrus. And then it was at that point, I was like, okay, you know what? The name's got to go. And there's also a bunch of other companies in the publishing space also called Papyrus. So there's also some kind of, you know, brand dilution or confusion around the two. That was the main motivation of shifting names. To answer your question about kind of original vision, so the vision was a lot more narrow. I don't think I sort of had a full grasp of exactly what I was building at the time. Well, I mean, I think that's a good segue kind of into motivation and sort of how I started doing this. So, you know, during the pandemic, I had a bunch of free time on my hands, you know, 2.5 years ago. I wanted to start writing more seriously and growing my own audience, right? As you're familiar with, as I'm sure a lot of people and the audience are familiar with. So I started using some of the existing solutions, Substack, Twitter for short form content, explored Medium and beyond. I think there's quickly a handful of kind of concerns or things that I thought, weren't necessarily aligned with what I kind of envisioned in a publishing platform. One, I didn't feel like I had full control over the relationships with my audience, right? I think a lot of these platforms maintained at the start that you could own the relationship, own a direct relationship with your audience because it was based on email, right? You can email them at any point. They could reply, direct relationship, right? Easy enough. I think over time, as happens to a lot of platforms, I think they realize they can capture a lot more value by getting more eyeballs on the platform itself, right? So, I mean, take Substack as an example. Now, effectively, they're competing with Twitter. They have follows, which are completely transparent to creators. They came out with chat, with forums. You know, they're ultimately trying to determine how exactly creators can engage with their audience. Yeah, right. Moving away from email, I think, to a decent degree. On top of that, a lot of these platforms, Substack included, have no API access. So it's impossible for developers to build on top of them. It's impossible for kind of novel client integrations to be built. If you wanted to build your community on Discord instead of chat or forums, rather, like you just can't do it. If you wanted to build Telegram instead of chat, you can't do it, right? So the lack of control there, especially as a developer, I wasn't too fond of. The second kind of, thinking around some of these platforms, I didn't think the paid subscription model was very effective for a lot of people. I was a small creator. I wanted to get my content in front of as many people as possible. Wanted to get a lot of eyeballs on the content, right? But the only way to make money is to paywall content. So there's kind of like a tension between reach and distribution and like monetization, because by putting a paywall on it, like by definition, you're getting less people to read your content. And if you paywall your best posts, I mean, that's like, I want most people to read my best posts, right? So, I think there's a little bit of tension that I kind of felt. And in conversations with creators very early on, this tension surfaced pretty frequently. If there's a better way to monetize this free content, I think that would be desirable and fantastic. There are a handful of other ways in traditional media to monetize. There's sponsorships, which I think are more so typically only achievable at scale. And there's also ads, I think, are common, which I think can open up sort of misaligned incentives, as we've seen, because then you're kind of driving clicks, right? You're driving not necessarily quality engagement necessarily. So identified kind of the paid subscription model could potentially be improved upon. Lastly, I think I struggled a little bit with growth. I, as most people do, kind of goes a little bit in line with what I was saying about getting, as much people as possible to get eyeballs on the content. But, I think I identified that a bunch of people enjoyed my content, but there's not really any real incentive for them to help me grow. Not really any incentive for them to share content with their friends or anything like that. Didn't feel ownership nor a stake in my creations or anything like that. And me also as a reader, I was a paid subscriber to a bunch of people as well, like Lenny Ruchitsky, a couple others on Substack. I also felt that way, right? Like I enjoyed their content. I had no incentive to help them grow. So, I think I didn't have like a very clear idea as I just articulated right now on kind of the sort of surface area of what I could build on top of. But I identified, I think there's a handful of things which I wanted to be improved upon. So I started hacking on Papyrus, now Paragraph, about 2.5 years ago. And then 2.5 years later, I mean, it's really evolved to be the product that it is today.
So a few things here. The first one, and I want to put a feather on the cap of Papyrus. I'm glad that it's not Papyrus. I think it's going to, it reached the demise of the font as well.
Yeah.
There's a whole meme around that, right? Like the Papyrus font. I mean, I think even SNL did a skit on that, which is pretty hilarious. So just to put a feather on that cap, I love Paragraph. I think it's just a wonderful name. It really just says a lot without saying too much. And then for me, at least, it sparked the imagination to want to learn more. So I think bravo on the branding. In terms of the evolution of content platforms, I remember, I'm not saying that this is where it started, but I remember using Medium a lot when that first launched. And I think there was a relationship between Medium and Twitter that for me was attractive to use, But as Twitter started closing its gates, Medium, I think its functionality, at least more broadly across the web, became much more narrow. Now, I am disincentivized from even reading Medium because there is these paywalls, like not even like that are user built, but like platform built, where after I've read two articles, even if I've opened something and I've forgotten that I've opened it and I go to something else, these things are getting measured and now I'm not able to really read anything. So it's actually quite useless for me. Substack, though, I thought was quite novel when it first launched, right? Because I thought this idea of like owning your audience, like you said, was really smart. Being able to engage with them via email, which I think is really wonderful. I think email more broadly is probably one of the most functional of applications on the web, you know, using, we can get into like the protocol discussion, right? Versus like, you know, what Web3 leads with protocols. I think email is like a really wonderful application on the web. And to be able to build an audience using email, like, you know, and being able to take that audience wherever you choose to go next was really cool. Then the monetization model with Beehive, which, you know, I'm dropping all these names and I don't think it's any surprise to anyone. What are these platforms? I think each kind of iterates on, you know, the previous, its predecessor and how the improvements it's made, but it's still lacking something. And I've tried all these, so I speak from experience. When I first joined Paragraph, though, I felt like something was different. Firstly, because you were and continue to be constantly available, you know, to creators when they have questions, and even open to feedback in terms of like how we can improve the product together. So that to say that I think that each platform brought, you know, kind of like some new and novel, you know, either integration, you know, Medium with Twitter, Substack with email, or feature overall. What do you think if someone were to point out Paragraph and look at what its novel features are? And I think that this to anybody who uses it today is no surprise, but maybe for our audience who's listening, who's never heard of Paragraph, what are some of the things that you would say are unique and novel about Paragraph that you can't do on any of these applications that I've mentioned already?
Yeah, so I think there's a handful of things. So I think one to start with, so you mentioned, you know, you're very interested in Medium early on as a result of a lot of the integrations they had with Twitter, right? I think a lot of platforms had close integrations with Twitter, with Twitter and kind of other social media, you know, sites, aiming for increased distribution, right? Like tapping into the social graph, like being able to, I don't know, search all content on Twitter and then display it in a novel way and stuff like that. But the problem is that Twitter's a platform, right? It's not a protocol. So, I mean, they can ultimately do whatever they want to do. In the case of Medium, they crippled. In the case of Substack, like Substack links now shared on Twitter, like they, you know, get extremely low engagement, et cetera. So kind of the approach that we've taken is doing a lot of what I think has been advantageous for like what Medium did with Twitter back in the day, but doing it on top of a new emerging social protocol called Farcaster, for increased distribution, for kind of open and permissionless network effects, for, you know, bootstrapping your audience, et cetera. So, you know, a couple of kind of concrete examples of what we've done with Farcaster that is just simply not possible to do on Twitter today. So one is the fact that we use Ethereum as the identity layer. You know, the very first thing someone does on Paragraph is connect your wallet, right? That's how you sign up. We also support email, I mean, to ease onboarding from Web2, which we can chat about later. But, you know, after a user connects their wallet, a wallet's an identifier across the entire crypto ecosystem. So while it's also used on Farcaster. So automatically we can pull in your Farcaster followers. We can get all those followers newsletters and then prompt you to one-click subscribe to them. So that kicks off, you know, network effects immediately. It helps bootstrap the network. It avoids sort of the cold start problem for a platform like Paragraph. It's getting more eyes on creators. It's getting more distribution. And for readers, you know, if they follow someone on Farcaster, very good probability they're also interested in following their long form content, right? So, you know, if Twitter, like if we tried to do this on Twitter, I mean, the fact that it's a platform, you know, they could sort of shut the gate at any point as they've done many times before. Like, I think the benefit of protocols is they're going to do what they're programmed to do indefinitely. Right. So I would say that's one kind of core benefit, the sort of tightly integrated integrations that we have with Farcaster in particular. And we have a bunch of other integrations. I think Frames, for example, you know, have driven massive growth for creators. We have the commenting integration. We have like all these things that are just not possible to do on Twitter today. So the second kind of novel feature that we have, so we allow for optional storage on top of Arweave. So Arweave is a permissionless, decentralized storage storage protocol where anybody can write to Arweave and then anybody else can ingest it and read it. So there's a bunch of different clients that are reading the either paragraph/mirror Arweave and then building kind of these novel clients or integrations on top of it. So, you know, Interface, Surreal, Firefly, Yup, like there's a bunch of these products that are building their own layers of discovery or personalization or distribution or really, you know, anything they want, anything they can think of on top of Arweave. So again, this is meaningful because like a lot of these kind of traditional platforms, they don't have APIs. Like you cannot do this. Maybe they have RSS for like a single creator, but it's impossible to do kind of a full text sort of lookup across the entire database, that they offer. And even if they did offer APIs, I mean, they could shut it off or change it at any point. So on Arweave, it's permissionless. Anyone can do this. And again, both of these two integrations, both Farcaster and Arweave that I mentioned, are with the goal of getting more eyes on content. If we have more people, more developers creating these kind of novel solutions on top of Arweave, providing their own kind of discovery layer, anything like that, it's just more beneficial for creators on Paragraph overall. I'll pause there.
In terms of like what you said, I mean, there's so many things to unpack here. First of all, for anybody who's listening, and most of our audience has been and continues to be, you know, they're coming in. They're just coming in. So I would call them crypto novices, right? And our whole goal here, if you weren't aware, is to try to help people kind of take that next step deeper into the ecosystem. Farcaster has made that tremendously helpful and easy. But for anybody listening, if you're just hearing about Farcaster for the first time in terms of like its identity layer as is being discussed, there is this like sub layer, right, where you can create an identity or AKA wallet and then leverage that identity across multiple platforms. In this case, on Farcaster and on Paragraph, you can leverage that identity, one identity across all platforms. Furthermore, one thing that I've actually, it's a question, I don't know if Paragraph has done this yet, but there's an ability to sign in with your Farcaster ID too, which is also kind of like that ID lives on the Ethereum blockchain. Just to clarify, is there an ability to sign in with Farcaster on Paragraph today?
There's not.
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. Yeah. Okay. Not to throw that, you know, as a question, more so as a comment of like identity systems on Ethereum and on Farcaster and can be leveraged on Paragraph. But is this idea of discovery, well, first of all, bootstrapping users and then discovery and distribution, I think all of these things are powerful. And I think that they're incredibly powerful when you use a platform like Paragraph. And it's incredibly powerful when you use a platform like Farcaster, because you're able to, like you said, immediately build in this user base, this fan base, probably better said, for creators, which as a creator myself, I think is incredibly valuable. And those are the platforms that I seek out. What are some of the things that you would say are useful for creators coming to Paragraph for the first time? Maybe not their fans. We can get into that in a little bit in terms of how fans can interact with the content that creators are posting or sharing on Paragraph. But as a creator, what are some good things you would say? It's like, hey, you just came in. Make sure you're doing these things because this is the best way to kind of like bootstrap your own community make sure that you're creating value for your fans.
Yeah. So I think there's a handful of things. I think like the kind of vision of Paragraph is to make it as easy as possible to start taking advantage of like best practices, right? I think we're not there yet. I think there's still some, you know, kind of manual setup that needs to be done. I think we're making progress there. So, you know, I think like the first is customization. I'm a big believer of just customizing your own newsletter. We provide a bunch of functionality to actually customize it, kind of make it your own. I've never been the big fan of how like a lot of other platforms have everything look identical, all publications. I think there's a lot more work that we can be done or that we can do, you know, in order for customization to kind of exist. The second is we do a bunch with trying to like re-engage users or re-engage your audience, I should say. I think this is something that we could make like a little easier, you know, to start taking advantage of. But we have this kind of pretty complex feature with email automation and with email workflows. So, you know, as soon as a user subscribes to your newsletter, you can send them an email a day later and say like, hey, you know, thanks for subscribing. Here's a bunch of links to get started, et cetera. As soon as someone maybe unsubscribes, you can send them an email a week later and then say like, hey, you know, if you have any feedback, please reply or what have you. So I think, you know, that's something that I think would help just kind of lend itself to relationship building a little bit more. And then the last thing is that we have collectible content feature. So mm-hmm. within Paragraph, you can turn any single post into an NFT and then you can either charge for that NFT, you can limit the supply or not, you know, just make it free and unlimited. And this kind of opens up not only an additional revenue stream for creators from the biggest fans, but it allows, you know, their readers to actually own something of the creators that potentially resonates with them, indicates that they want to support the creator. I think there's numerous reasons why they'd want to do that. But I think that's been a pretty, I would say, magical experience, I think, from someone who has written on one of the kind of traditional platforms in traditional media for a couple of years. They haven't made a dime because they didn't want to paywall content. They come to Paragraph, you know, they begin publishing, they see it reflected on Farcaster, and then they start earning some level of revenue as a result of collectible content. I think that's kind of like an aha moment a little bit for a lot of creators, which we want to continue doubling down on.
Yeah. And just to be clear, I think that there's also a lot of strategic thinking that can go into how you charge for your content. Like I've myself like tested across different platforms, like what the right monetization model is. And personally, I've come to the understanding with myself that it's probably better to just make it free, because at the end of the day, there's more power in being able to like create a much denser social graph with all my collectors than it is to actually like monetize the content. So the distribution goes much farther, in my opinion. I also recently changed my contract to Base because I started on Optimism and I realized most of the Farcaster community is on Base. So why not just change the contract, or at least the way that my content gets distributed and minted? And we can get into that too a little bit. But for now, I think that's a really good point to make. Our audience on Unlonely, so if you're listening on Unlonely, please do share all your questions there. Oh, we just had a lot of people flood into it. So our audience is asking, and I think they asked before coming in, and now Grace is asking on the comment section there to learn more about Mirror, because I think Mirror is this platform that for anybody who's been around Web3 for long enough knows who they are. They have, reputation wise, they have, you know, a lot of it, for not just being early in this publishing kind of world of, you know, content creation and Web3, but also in the games that were played. I remember there was a Right Race there going on for a while, you know, and then adding some features that resembled a lot of what Paragraph was doing, which was like email capture, so that you can extend the value of that community beyond just that platform. Firstly, what was like your first experience with Mirror? Did you have any experience before reaching out to the team? And how did that conversation first get started when you said, hey, what about Mirror being acquired by Paragraph? Or is that not how it went?
So I think it's important to realize that I think Mirror, like 2.5 years ago when we started Paragraph, was different. Mm-hmm. They started with the Right Race, as you mentioned, and a bunch mm-hmm. of other things. But I think the focus that they had pretty early on was a little bit more so on like tooling, mm-hmm. Not necessarily for writers or publishers necessarily, but like they had crowdfunding, right? Like mm-hmm. they had a bunch of other features that I think wanted to provide more value to like DAOs or, you know, kind of larger companies that wanted to bring their content on chain and then maybe raise money, you know, for it. So when I started Paragraph, I mean, I didn't really view them as sort of in like the direct space that I was in necessarily. I kind of viewed some of the other Web2 competitors, you know, a little bit more directly competing with me. I think over time, I mean, both products evolved in a similar way. I think we both realized the power of Farcaster, you know, Google Farcaster integrations. We both doubled down on publishing. I think Mirror, they had a blog post at one point saying, you know, we're focusing a lot more on publishing. I think kind of the core difference, at least in my mind, about kind of how we've approached this. One, I've always viewed Paragraph as sort of a Web 2.5 platform, if you can call it that. I mean, we support email signup, right? You can sign up and then use paragraph without knowing nor caring about crypto as a whole. This has been a deliberate design decision because we, at some point, it may make sense to abstract a bunch of the crypto rails underneath, but still allow people to start taking advantage of it, right? We also support like Substack email import and some other things, which in my opinion are kind of table stakes to start getting some of these larger creators to migrate over and start taking advantage of the benefits of crypto rails and all the protocols we're building on top of. In my mind, I also think Mir was kind of doing sort of a different approach in the sense that they targeted Web3 natives. They didn't have email subscription for a while. You had to use a wallet, et cetera. So, you know, to answer your question on like kind of core differences and how I viewed it, I kind of viewed it like that. I do think Mir pioneered many things. I think the right race, writing NFTs, I even think open editions were pioneered by them. So they really did lay the foundation, you know, of a lot of these kind of primitives that we're talking about. So to answer kind of the second part of your question, like how it kind of came to be. So we raised a fundraise from Union Square Ventures. USV approached us. You know, one of my first questions to USV was, USV is also a major investor in Mir. So like, how is this not like a conflict of interest? And then after kind of discussing a little bit more, realized that, you know, it seemed like there was some opportunity to collaborate with Mir in a meaningful way. I had no idea what the collaboration would look like, but after discussing with the Mir team, it seemed like they had pretty high conviction for this new direction that they announced. They announced Kiosk a few days ago, which is a Farcaster client with kind of economics attached to it, which I'm very excited about. I'm a big fan of client diversity on the Farcaster ecosystem. But, it kind of unfolded after some of these initial conversations, and we ended up on sort of the extreme spectrum of collaboration, which was us taking ownership of the product.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think that it was a very different landscape then, and a very different product as well. I definitely have not been using Paragraph for 2.5 years, so full disclosure. But I do agree that, at least in my opinion, there's still kind of very unique uses of both platforms. Like, actually, I thought about this after the announcement was made at FarCon, as to how I could leverage both platforms separately. I'm guessing there's probably some alpha to be gained today, just because I think I recently read a cast from you saying the vision of a Paragraph is post once and it gets shared everywhere or something to that. I'm doing a horrible job at basically saying what you said. But before you get to like what you think could be the potential future for both Paragraph and Mirror moving forward, I thought about this very deeply after FarCon. And the way that I see it is I run my brand account, if you will. So Crypto Sapiens has a publication on Paragraph. And I don't know if everybody uses it this way, but I've opened that up to our community to also write on our publication. So it's more of this like brand, as long as everything is connected to the way that we storytell, you're welcome to write on our publication. Whereas like I see Mirror more as a personal blog, like where I could do my personal brain dumps, like, hey, this was my experience at FarCon. What do you think about that as a future application for both? Or are you thinking very differently in terms of like how Mirror could operate and how Paragraph could operate in the future?
So I want to spend the next few months just chatting with creators on each platform. I think both platforms have strengths and weaknesses. And then kind of using those conversations to inform, future product direction. My gut feeling, I don't think it makes sense to maintain two like separate code bases, maintain two separate products that are kind of similar, but also slightly different. I think there's something to say for brand dilution as well. I mean, the number one question I always got asked was like, how are you guys different from Mir, right? So I think from a UX perspective for people that are beginning to use either one of the products, I think it's like a little confusing, a little poor onboarding. What the combined or potentially sort of joint product in the future would look like, I have no idea right now. I want to use these conversations with creators to kind of help inform that direction.
Yeah. So the funny thing is I'm reading the chat here and they're saying just eat up Mirror and just keep operating under Paragraph, which, you know, I think it's a popular opinion, right? I mean, I think Paragraph at this point, you know, and this is no disrespect to Mirror, I think Paragraph at this point has the momentum. They have the brand visibility. People know who you are. And obviously being so deeply integrated into the Farcaster ecosystem, people are excited to use the platform. So if you wish to just eat Mirror up and just say, we're going to just keep operating as Paragraph, we're just going to do something really cool with, you know, some, maybe some of the games or platform that they had set up, wonderful. But I agree. Like, it's, I'm sure, very hard to maintain two different code bases. And then, you know, just keep building that way. So for those of us who aren't familiar with acquisitions, because I did see some people talking about this in the Farcaster post or the Warpcast post that I did earlier, M&A is not something that is often discussed in this space. I don't know how much you can share. Obviously, don't get in trouble sharing information here that you're not supposed to be talking about. But can you give us a bit of a, like, maybe alpha in terms of like how this operates, like who approaches who, what are the, you know, what are some of the things that take effect when you're doing an agreement of this sort?
Yeah, I can provide a little bit of high level. I think the first I want to clarify. So this was technically not an acquisition. This was the technical legal distinction is this was an asset purchase. I don't think anywhere in both Mirror Paragraph's communication we said acquisition, but of course media does whatever they want. And I think the very first CoinDesk article was like, you know, Paragraph acquires Mirror, like Mirror pivots, Mirror gives up on public. Like, I don't know, they spin their own angle. But so I think there's a key distinction. I mean, acquisition, like, we're not taking their liabilities, we're not taking any part of their team. It's sort of a scoped subset of like intellectual property, you know, product, code base, revenue, user base, all this other stuff. So yeah, that's important to emphasize. The kind of second facet is like how it fabricates. Also, this is my first one that I've gone through. So, I mean, I have no idea if this is sort of the traditional, you know, how it typically fabricates, but it was really just a discussion at the start. We just kind of wanted to see what a mutually beneficial outcome could look like for Paragraph, for Mirror, and for our creators, ultimately, right? I mentioned before, there was confusion about onboarding, there was brand dilution, I think the products evolved to be in sort of a sort of similar state. So, I mean, a lot of these conversations were very productive. After we kind of agreed that it would make sense for us to begin taking ownership, then I think there's this whole process, both from like the product side, getting an understanding of the code base, also from the legal side, making sure, you know, both companies have kind of our everything tied up, I think, when it comes to legality. And of course, like due diligence and all of that. Yeah, that's at a high level, I think, what happens.
Understood. And thanks for the clarification. I also don't think I read that anywhere, but it's really easy to get like the foggy glasses when you read other stuff and that language gets sneaks in there. But, you know, there's two questions here. One is a follow-up to something you said earlier, and I think it actually relates to my next question. So firstly, you talked about incentives being aligned, you know, for creators and collectors. What do you think that Paragraph does differently to create better incentive alignment between those two different groups? And I ask again, because I think that there's this conversation to be had about loyalty and meme coins, which I want to get to afterwards, but also personally as a creator is a challenge that I've seen where, and I talked about this, I was workshopping this during FarCon, which is the incentives for creators to go on chain. I mean, you name them. Like, there's a lot of incentives for creators to go on chain. Provenance, monetization, you know, being able to own your own audience, like all these different things, I think are quite powerful motivators. But for collectors, less so. What do you think we need to do in order to better align those incentives between the two? And is Paragraph already there, or is there anything interesting that you're working on to try to achieve that?
So I think there's a handful of thoughts that I have here. So let me kind of share. I'm viewing, and I think Mirror also viewed this as, I think they coined like collect is the new like, right? They had a blog post like that. That always resonated with me. I think in Web 2 and traditional media, Instagram and beyond, I think likes are meaningless. I think like the Web3 equivalent, collecting content. I mean, it's a like with some type of economic value attached to it. I think that's powerful, right? And you get something in return. I think there's like one of numerous reasons as to why someone would want to collect content. I think one simplest, patronage, right? I think they really enjoy the creator. You know, they want to support them. They want to support them either economically or, you know, just signal their support to collect their posts, right? Easy. The next, I think speculation in crypto is undeniable. I think speculation can kind of manifest in one of two ways. I think one, you know, if you collect something, like the price would increase. So secondary markets would form around this. Wouldn't happen with open editions because there's unlimited. It's not time limited. I don't think it's happened with writing NFTs specifically, secondary markets forming around them. The second, which I think both Mir and Paragraph are doing today, is speculation with referral rewards. So on Mir, if you're the first minter of like a base post and then a million people mint it after that, like you'd make a lot of money, right? So you're speculating kind of based on the future success of the post. I think status is something as well, which in my opinion is a little underexplored on Paragraph and Mir, but you know, kind of signaling that you're early to a creator. Fred Wilson like recently migrated to, you know, all in on Paragraph. I think people really want to be early collectors to Fred to kind of signal that you're very early to some of the good ideas that I think he's been creating. So I think that's a large part, which I don't think we've done much about, but I think is powerful. I also think there's sort of like a cultural slash like taste standpoint for actually doing the collecting, right? Like I think if you want to be able to curate and kind of show off like, okay, these are all the things that I really enjoy. These are like posts that really resonated with me. These are, you know, things that I want to show off ultimately, you know, ultimately show that you have good taste. You know, I also feel like that's something which is relatively underexplored right now on the products, which we could do a better job at.
I think you bring up a good point. I think both in terms of like collection is a new like, I 100% agree with that. It could be low friction or high friction. And I think the friction is just maybe the cost or maybe the chain on which you operate. So I talked about Base just moments ago. I think the friction is very low there, especially if you're a Farcaster native, because the likelihood is you already have some ETH there. So, you know, you start reducing that friction for collection. And also because it's very inexpensive, it just costs a couple of cents if not nothing at all, really, fractions of cents to transact. I do also agree in terms of like curation, I think is very underexplored. I think that we have tastemakers in this space. That's not to say influencers, I don't like that word, but there's people out there that I think have a really good eye for content. And I think I love looking at their wallets. Like I love, you know, browsing it either through OpenSea or some other platform to see what they've collected. Because usually either I just want to appreciate it or I want to collect the same thing, because I'm like, oh, like I never even knew that that existed, but that looks really great. So I think like collectors as curators, I think is a really powerful tool as well that could be further considered. And then last but not least, I think I had Johnny Mac from Hypersub on week one here of this podcast. And we were talking about Hypersub and as, you know, the Web3's version of Patreon. And I think patronage also, I think, is a really powerful tool. So I think it's really interesting to start seeing the creator stack just deepen even more. And it's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about Paragraph and kind of like it's just future, because I think that as a creator, there's a lot of potential there. Not to say that or not to mention the fact that there's a ton to be gained in terms of like the data from all the collectors and the really cool stuff that they're curating on their wallets. I guess, I don't know if there's a question there. I just kind of wanted to note that because I think that that's a really interesting kind of thought experiment when it comes to creators and the creator economy in general.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything to add. I think one other kind of underexplored thing, just going back to what we were discussing, is like utility. You know, Johnny from Hypersub is doing this quite a bit. I mean, if you subscribe to someone's Hypersub, like you get utility either in the form of future drops or access to events or mm-hmm. what have you. So I think that's powerful. I think mm-hmm. on Paragraph, like you can token gate if you wish, but I mean, right. It goes back to some of the earlier, you know, kind of tension between reach and monetization that I mentioned, but I'm interested in exploring utility a little bit more. I mean, one like idea that I had, which I began working in this direction, but we kind of punted on it, Right now on Paragraph, you can highlight any quote, like any piece of content within a post, and you can collect that individual highlight. What I wanted to do at some point was to build this out into a more fully fledged feature where, you know, if I collect a piece of your, like a quote from you, and then I begin riffing off of it, I publish my own post, I'd be able to reference yours. And then there'd be provenance. It would kind of show that you're the original creator of IP. Potentially, there could be some type of royalty flow back to you. My kind of hypothesis here is like original thoughts are like a little rare these days. I think a lot of the people doing a lot of talking on Twitter and beyond, they're kind of just quoting someone else or like taking their intellectual property and then like just kind of doing, putting their own spin on it. So if we can have some type of value flow back to the original creator, if we can have sort of a time-stamped attribution saying like, yes, Humpty came up with this genius idea, or if it didn't turn out very well, then Humpty came up with this like lesser good idea, but it would still be time-stamped, right? I just think there's such a large surface area of cool stuff to explore and build on top of, given a lot of these primitives, which I think I would love to start exploring and start building more on top of.
So when you started this kind of comment, what you were riffing right now, it sounded like what you were doing was just like highlighting the way that you would on Medium and the way that you could like share that on Twitter previously.
Yeah.
But this just sounds a lot more fun because now, again, talking about the creator stack just becoming deeper, like now you're creating like content Legos, right? Which I think is really interesting that you can take a piece, like a piece of a content, and then build on that. And then there's that provenance that, you know, on chain that shows where this idea started and how it's evolved, because then someone else can pick that up and someone else can pick that up. I think that that's just a really interesting way of like sharing, I don't know, like a mind network or some mind share on chain, which I think is really cool. And I'm very interested to see when that happens, and let me know when it's live or if there's an alpha group to test out some of these concepts, because I'd be happy to be a part of that test group.
Yeah, I would love to bring it back at some point. So highlights are live right now. Anyone can collect any part of a post and then it shows up like a little highlighted block of text. That part's live, just all the other provenance and kind of flow back is not live. But I would love to at some point. I mean, I think there's such a large surface area, again, of things to explore that it's just a matter of like shipping, right? Like just doing it, seeing how people use it, seeing if it's providing real value. Does it open up new avenues of distribution in this case, potentially new avenues of creator monetization, and then like rinse and repeat, basically. That's kind of how we've approached the past 2.5 years. Ship very frequently, you know, see how it's used in production, see if it's resonating with users, and just keep doing it.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, and I'm thinking back at like the outline that I set up for this conversation, and I realize I've missed a couple of things, but I really, before we go, I just wanted to talk about like the integration of some of the cool stuff on your platform. You're talking about highlights. So I think when going through the history of Paragraph, I think Farcaster was one of the earlier integrations, which I think has been really great for the success and growth of your platform. But then you also have Highlight, you have XMTP. Like what's the strategy behind integration, and specifically when it comes to expanding your audience, the usage of the platform, and growing overall?
So the strategy we have, like I mentioned earlier, the three pillars, right? There's content creation, there's distribution, and there's monetization. So nearly all integrations we have kind of fall into one of these buckets, and hopefully all the integrations we have meaningfully improve one of these buckets, right? So in the case of XMTP, you know, like how would a world look if on everyone's phone they have a wallet and that wallet can receive messages? Like how could Paragraph play a key role in facilitating, you know, the delivery of content from creators publishing on Paragraph? XMTP supports frames now, so people could read in line directly in their inboxes. People could mint the post directly in their inboxes, et cetera. So it kind of opens up not only mechanisms of distribution, but kind of closer engagement with creators and users, right? So I think Farcaster's done a phenomenal job in both the distribution and the monetization buckets. Arweave, obviously, for the creation and distribution buckets. So, I mean, you know, I don't think it's kind of a hard and fast science. It's more so like, can we build on the top of a protocol, preferably, right? Like, I don't want to be rugged by Twitter or other kind of regular platforms. Will this protocol meaningfully increase distribution or monetization, or kind of make it sort of more, much more meaningfully impactful to create, or what have you on Paragraph? And then like the technicals, like does it kind of fit into our vision? Is it challenging to integrate? Does it add a new identity layer that we need to deal with, et cetera? So I think that that's kind of how I've been envisioning, I think, integrating with a lot of these. For some, it's obvious. I think Farcaster, when they emerged, you know, we were very, very quick to integrate because I just foresaw all the cool stuff I wanted to build on Twitter. I was like, oh, I just can't do it. They don't have full text search. They don't have like all this other stuff. So that was kind of like an easy decision to make, I think.
So as we reach the top of the hour here, one thing that I do want to talk about is building on top of Paragraph, right? Because we're talking about like this layered approach to the Web3 ecosystem and how you can build on top of these Legos, right? So you're building on top of Farcaster. You've integrated a bunch of other different kind of protocols like XMTP and platforms like Highlight. What would your vision be for developers who want to build on top of Paragraph? Is there like a vision there for the future of the platform?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So I think there's kind of two requests we get from developers. There's like, I want to build on top of the content that's being created. And then the second is like, I want to create content, right? Programmatically. So building on top of the content that's been created, I mean, you can do that today, right? There's Interface, there's Yup, there's a bunch of different products that are reading either Mirror, Paragraph, or Weave, and then just build their own personalized kind of discovery layers, display it to users. You know, collecting is on chain. They can collect posts or whatever, you know, they'd like to do. So like that part's feasible today, right? The creating content on Paragraph programmatically. So this is something which there's a lot that excites me in this space, right? This is also something that excites me. I would love to be at some point, some type of like headless or expose some of our features to be like a headless editor or headless, you know, content creation system. I think we've invested heavily in our editor. I think we have a pretty, you know, decently like fully featured, robust editor. So like, what would it look like if we could embed that and someone could self-publish on their own blog, or if someone could, you know, write on Obsidian and then it automatically gets sent to Paragraph, or, you know, what do we need to do to glue a bunch of these pieces to place? We haven't figured that out. I think that's like a much bigger effort, but would love to ideally have, you know, pretty much every part of the stack be able to be looped in by developers, and then developers could start building kind of all these novel, you know, integrations on top of.
No, that's really good. And I appreciate you kind of sharing the vision there in terms of how it can continue to grow. Anything left unsaid that you think we should be talking about in terms of like Paragraph, where it's been, where it's at, and where it's going?
I mean, I'm just going to give like a kind of a self-serving shout out, but we're hiring right now. So we're a team of three people. We've always been a team of three people in the past 2.5 years, all engineers, myself and two others, all technical. So, I mean, that's gotten us so far. I mean, we've built a pretty good product, but I definitely think there's room for improvement for design or for some of the, you know, some of the kind of non, you know, technical things that we're certainly not experts in. So we have, you know, job postings up on the website. Would love to have conversations if, you know, building on top of these protocols excite you, if content creation in general excites you, that would be fantastic. The second kind of self-serving shout out is like, if you are a power user of either products, I would love to have a conversation with you just to determine what, you know, a single great publishing platform might look like in the future. I'm going to be spending my next several months having these conversations, so I would love to hear from folks. You know, I'm a big believer, which you alluded to earlier, I'm a big believer of like directly talking with users, like getting feedback and kind of informing product roadmap based on a lot of these conversations. I think that's what every early stage founder should be doing ultimately. So please reach out. Would love to chat. I think those are the only two things. I think we're pretty comprehensive with everything else.
Well, I'm glad that we were able to touch on so many different kind of, I guess, topics around Paragraph, the creator economy and the future of both Paragraph and Mirror. It's really amazing to hear everything that was built with three people. Congratulations. Wow, that's definitely worthy of celebration. And I'm personally very excited about the future of Paragraph, because as a creator, as an author that has a publication, two publications actually, on Paragraph, I'm just excited to continue to grow both and to do so together with the community of creators that you've already kind of brought together there. I can't even imagine what that's going to look like when there's like thousands of creators on Paragraph. I guess the first thing that I can think of is your little scrolling thing on the website. I would never be able to see everything. Right now, I feel like I can see them. After a few seconds, I can see everyone that's on there. But it'd just be wild to be like, well, I've been waiting here for a minute. I still haven't seen my logo.
Yeah, I think it's been, you know, obviously it's been a fantastic journey so far. I mean, I've loved every minute of it. It's very fulfilling to be able to chat directly with creators, very fulfilling to be able to build something that that people love, but that helps them in a meaningful way, right? Either build close relationships with their audience, maybe monetize in some meaningful way, which they weren't able to do before. You know, it's been fantastic. And I do feel like with, you know, with the Mirror News and with the recent fundraise that we closed, you know, I think we'll be able to just operate at a much larger scale than before. Hopefully expand the team a little bit beyond three people. I think we're all a little stretched thin. But yeah, I'm very excited for the next stage of the journey. And I think having creators like yourself that have been such vocal proponents of Paragraph have been fantastic. So hopefully we can unlock the next wave of vocal proponents of Paragraph.
Let's go. If that's not a call to action, I don't know what is. Make sure if you are talented and interested, go apply for some of these jobs that are available now on Paragraph. And if you're a creator and you're not on Paragraph, what's wrong with you? Go to Paragraph, find me on Farcaster at Humpty, and I'll be more than happy to Paragraph pill you to get started. It's such an amazing platform. Colin, thank you so much for your time, for just sharing, you know, the wealth of your knowledge and excitement for this space. I am hugely thankful to you for coming on to the Crypto Consumer Chronicles on Crypto Sapiens, and I can't wait to continue chatting with you in the DMs over on Farcaster.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on. Really enjoyed this conversation.
Cheers.